Isn't that an amazing thought? When you put the Word of God into your life, and we're going to talk about that today, about putting the Word of God into your life seriously, taking a hold of it, taking a grip on the Word. When the Word of God gets down inside of you and gets rooted inside of your life, what happens is the love of God begins to be rooted into your life. Your faith begins to grow, and you begin to seriously believe that God is who He says He is, can do what He says He can do. You begin to believe the way, instead of, how many of you have had a struggle just believing right anyway? But, you know, it takes time to let all those other bad thoughts go, and God just displace them with the good things that God has for us. So this teaching is entitled, Jesus Heals. Jesus Heals. I want to start just with a few scriptures. This first one, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not shortchange this generation. Everything that He did when He was on the earth is available today. He didn't say, well, now that I'm gone, I'm not going to give you the good stuff, but I'm going to cause everything that I made promise of be available to you. I have another verse for you, just a little foundation. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And this is a picture of our culture today. People are broken in all kinds of ways. The first place they're broken is they're broken from relationship with God, which opens up the door to other types of brokenness. The other place they're broken is they're broken in relationship from one another. And there's harsh things that happen. We live in a culture that's severely broken. Then there's this internal brokenness with your own emotions, your, say, scarring memories, things that have happened in your past, things like that, that you can carry them your whole life unless you have an encounter with the Lord and do business with the Lord and learn how to overcome these things through what He's given us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then some of the places that we're broken is just in our physical bodies. You know what I mean? You can be broken down, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, where all that comes from. I want to look at another verse just since we're on the top of this. Matthew 4:24 says, so His fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought Him all the sick. Those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and He healed them. What a mixture of need. Isn't that amazing? What a mixture of need. Now, I believe a lot of bad things happen to good people, don't you? I don't believe that there is a degree, you know, you can learn the protection of the Lord. You can learn to walk with the Lord. And as you learn to walk with Him, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you either have been walking with Jesus or your grandmother's been praying for you. That there's protection. There's things that can be, you can experience protection. Psalm 91 is about that. There's different ways that the Lord can protect you. But we also all go through things. And Jesus said, in the midst of tribulation and trials, I'll be there with you. I'll help you go through it. I'm there with you in the middle of it. I'll be there with you. How many of you are happy about the idea that you're never alone? You may feel alone. You know, but please, please just lay hold. I'm interrupting myself to talk about. I mentioned wanting to memorize more Psalms, and I'm bringing on Psalm 139. And oh my God, God is in the middle of darkness. Darkness is light to God. It's light to Him. So there's no darkness. So when you're all alone in the darkness, guess who's there with you? Jesus is with you. No matter how you feel, no matter how emotionally distraught or overwhelmed you feel, he's always there. In fact, he's there when you don't want him to be there. He knows all your thoughts from afar off. Memorize Psalm 139. You'll start living better. It's messing with me. I want to be better. I mean, oh, baby. So there's how people end up in all kinds of discomfort and pain and things that happen. There's things and injustices that happen to people when they're little, different kinds of abuses, sexual abuse, physical abuse. You can end up in a big depressed place of despair. You can end up being a person that's just, like I said, a broken heart. But here's what we're going to look at here today. Jesus Christ, he comes and saves to the uttermost. When you come to him in the middle of the depth of your pain and you begin to cry out to him, he begins to show up in your life for you. Now, there are some people that are so deeply in pain, and there are seasons of coming out of pain and things that's in their truth. It's not all one shot, you know what I mean? Don't you wish Jesus to go zap, and you'll never have to deal with anything else? Well, it's not quite like this. Layer after layer. The human soul is kind of like an onion, and it's layer after layer, and you're crying all the time. You got to go through these things. You got to unravel this stuff and come through. But the Lord is faithful to bring you into wholeness. And he's so faithful to bring you into such wholeness that you can end up with this attitude: I wouldn't change my past for anything, because what I have learned of Jesus along the way has given me a sense of grace and authority to live in life and to help other people. Nothing's been robbed, truly, that the Lord hasn't restored more than sevenfold. Oh, praise the Lord. So we want to partner with him and in our belief systems. How many of you need more of the Word of God in your mind anyway? Okay. I want to put up a verse that says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. What in the world is rampant wickedness? It's runaway wickedness. Put it away. Put away all filthiness and runaway wickedness. And receive with meekness. Everybody say, the implanted word. Now see, this is an amazing promise, because it says, which is able to save your souls. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. Have you ever seen one of those, they call them pile drivers, but they just pound poles into the ground? See, our culture is so lightweight when it comes to the Word of God that people are so wishy-washy, and there's no strength of heart because of the shallowness by which people view the eternal transforming power that is wrapped up in this word. But if you will pile drive it down inside of you, there are things that will not affect you that affect everybody else. Because the word, when you keep it, it keeps you. But if you're just kind of lightweight with it, and it's over there on the shelf saying, read me, and you don't read it, you don't take it to heart, you will be blown away and tossed around all the time. You'll be worried and going up and down. You won't mature, but the maturing comes when you pile drive it down inside and you lay hold of it. On the back of your notes, our goal today is to take the seed of the Word of God and then put it inside of us. We do this by reading it, speaking it, writing it, guarding our hearts and keeping it. Now listen to this. So that the Word of God becomes what we believe. It becomes what we actually believe. Life can hit you like that, and you go, But I believe that Jesus is with me in the midst of this. And he's going to take what this is and work it out for my good. And you have things in you that react, that can respond to the pressures and things because you have it in you. So our first fill in the blank is the only purpose of God's promises is their fulfillment. The only purpose that God's promises are in the Bible is because they're going to be fulfilled in your life if you pile drive them down in your heart. If you put them in there, they'll come to pass for you. I'm saying if you put them in there, the only purpose God's word is there is to be fulfilled in your life. And he will fulfill it in your life. Are you wishy-washy? Get a hold of the promise and you'll become solid. You'll become stable. You'll become the sane person in the room of a bunch of crazy people. You will become the solid person. The one with a sense of authority. When everybody's freaking out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So what place should the Word of God have in us? I got this out of a book by called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, and it just grabbed me. I was like, oh my God. He says, what place should the Word of God have in us? He has this little phrase, it ought to obtain and retain an inside place in the thoughts and the memory and the conscience and the affections. It ought to obtain and retain a place of honor, reference, faith, love, and obedience. It ought to obtain and retain in us a place of trust. It ought to obtain and retain in us a place of authority. Now listen, we're going to get into the part about little physical healing and emotional healing, stuff like that. But here I'm here to say that if you got something wrong in your life, don't deny it. Defy its authority to be there. There's a difference between denying something exists, because you're not denying it. If you're sick, you're sick. But defy it with the promise of the Word of God. Jesus has given himself. He went to the whipping post. He had all those lashes put on him. The blood came out. He carried our sin. He carried our sickness. He carried our sin and sickness to the cross. He took the burden on himself. And he says, by my stripes, you were healed. You were healed. And you're sick. You're physically sick. You're not denying it, but you say, by his stripes, I was healed. And your spirit begins to rise up. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you begin to speak, and your body, it's, the Bible says that even a person's spirit sustains, or they endure sickness because of their spirit, having the word of God in it. Isn't that a good point, number one? I love that point. So we want to go ahead and take a look at the first mention of where the Lord says he's the healer in the Bible. Ready? Because this would be great. Then this is Exodus 15, 22 through 26. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and when they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, they named it Marah. Marah means bitter. And so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log or a tree or something over there. And he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. Then the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. This is the first time God being mentioned as the healer shows up, and it's really peculiar because it's not like they're sick. Physically, maybe there's somebody there, but it's not really addressing that. It's addressing, here's the picture. Here's the picture for you and me. Let's say, for instance, you're walking around in the wilderness. And the only thing that you've been able to drink is the bitterness of your own soul. And this picture says, you can take the cross of Jesus Christ and you can throw it into the bitterness of your soul. You can take what Jesus has done at the cross and come and impart it into the bitterness of your soul. And your soul will become sweet. And he'll take the heartache and the pain and the things out, because he is the Lord, your healer. He's your healer. And this is how he starts it. I was a bitter person. I understand bitter people. I can pick up. I have little antennas. I can bitterness. Unresolved heartache. I can pick that up. You know why? How you can spot somebody like that? This is the list. I complained, and it was never really my fault. And I was a victim. And people did stuff. And so somebody has to take the blame for it. But I'm not going to, because my dad did it to me, or my friends did it to me, or somebody else did it to me. And when you open up your mouth, from the heart, the mouth speaks, and bitterness flows out. I remember moving, when I first got here, somebody told me this big thing about don't ever be around that person. And years later, I met him, and there was nothing wrong with him. I heard the bitterness. Bitterness caused me to look out. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? So you understand what it's like to let words flow out of your mouth that defile other people because of what was hurt inside of you. And see, the picture here is that the power of the cross and the forgiveness of the cross comes and is put into the bitter waters of your soul. And you realize that Jesus has taken on. See, here's the point. He took on the bitterness. He took it. He'll take it today. We do communion around here, and we do it with force in the spirit realm to liberate people from bitterness, don't we? Have you had a moment where you've taken something and really learned the depth of forgiveness and poured out that forgiveness to that person, whoever hurt you, and then begin blessing them on the basis of the covenant that Jesus has? It's good, isn't it? And what happens is, when you've had bitterness taken out of your soul, you're sweet. Sweet water begins to flow up out of you. People bump into you and you go, oh, and you're sweet. Oh, you're sweet. You're a nice person. It's better. How many of you are glad right now that the Holy Spirit is not like jumping all over you about your words right now? How many of you know that that's a wrestling match right there? Let's go ahead and put number two down since I'm here. You never get to a better future dwelling on your bitter past. You never get to a better future dwelling on your bitter past. Okay, I want to look at another representation of Jesus. By the way, let me go ahead and say that, you know, not every not every sickness comes out of a bitterness, but there seems like the majority of them do. You can have an accident. That probably is not out of bitterness. This is an accident, right? You can go to the doctor for a broken arm. That's really not from a bitter soul, right? You can have a genetic, something passed down through the bloodline that's a weakness and a propensity toward a certain disease or illness. That's not really bitterness. It's just something that's passed down. But medical journals and all reveal some over 80% are unresolved issues that the body begins to break down because of unresolved issues, emotional issues. And I think that's why the very first account that God declares himself the healer is because he knows bitterness of soul will make you sick. And so he says, I am the God, your healer, and I have a tree that I can apply to the bitterness of your soul, and I'll make it sweet on the inside. And other people, when they come around you, they'll drink of the good things that I have done in you instead of the bad things that have been unresolved in your life. The next little story here has to do with the little later date, and it's recorded in Numbers chapter 21, starting with 4 from Mount Hor. They had set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Eden. And the people became impatient on the way, and the Lord spoke against God. The people spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Now here they are again. Now God's done all this stuff. He's really working with them, but they are just really hardcore. They're just bitter people. And he's not having a tough time getting through. So he lifts his hand. Now when it says here, it says the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. I want you to know that when you look anywhere where harm comes to people, basically it's this. God, see, when God's hand is on you, you're safe. When he lifts it, you're not safe. God lifts his hand, the fiery serpents come in. They start biting the people, and some of them are dying. And then the people came to Moses after this poisonous snake bites, and they say this, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away these serpents from us. So the Lord prayed for the people, and then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, they would look to the bronze serpent and live. Here's another picture for us. Jesus brought this thing up later when he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so Christ will be lifted up. And you go on, a snake and Jesus? Oh my God, what's the snake about? It was a snake in a tree that Adam, a snake at a tree that Adam and Eve fell, right? And the Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and Jesus took our place hanging on the tree. And it says that when he took that place, it says he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin. Well, at that moment, Jesus, all the sin came into Jesus, and he was more like the snake. He was so full of evil on the cross. He was just pumped out all of your sins. All of the sins of every worst person on the planet were all put into him. That's called snake-like venomous sin. And then the wrath of God is poured out on it. The wrath of God is poured out on Jesus. My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? That's why I said that. Bam, right? So Jesus now comes and says, as Moses lifted the serpent, so I will be lifted up, and all who look to me will receive eternal life. I have taken all of your sin upon myself. I've taken all of your sickness upon myself. Look to me, as Moses lifted the serpent, and the poison didn't have effect in their body. Look to Jesus, and the poison no longer has effect in your soul, in your body. It takes it away. Let's praise the Lord just for a minute. He's good, isn't he? Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I didn't put this up here, but I do want to mention that the reason we're talking about this is last Sunday morning, the Spirit of God was, there was, we were singing God is My Redeemer, and I can only imagine. And those of you who are here, you remember. In fact, that was wonderful. Thank you for that testimony. Heather was quickened, and we said for those who want a healing touch of the Lord, come down. There were very few people left in their seats. It was almost the whole place came down. And Debbie shared with me there was a, it was a catch in her get along. And she came down here, and she stood here before the Lord, and all the pain left, and the catch in her get along disappeared. And then she hadn't been back. I'm thinking, okay, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Now, it's sometimes they're not instantaneous. Sometimes, in fact, from the 19 times that Jesus healed people in the Gospels, I think 8 of them didn't require their faith. But only everybody else, he said, your faith has made you well. Because they reached to him and believed upon him. There were moments... like, you know, here's one of them where the person didn't have faith because he was dead. It was a funeral, and he walked up and raised him from the dead. So it was Jesus' faith that restored the son back to the mom. So that was not anybody's faith, but Jesus's. He saw the need and responded. But he likes to partner with us. And so there's this part in the Word that says, James 5, is anyone... among you, by the way, on the notes here, you have all the scriptures here for you. It says, if anyone is sick among you or suffering, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You see how that woven in there right quick? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of the righteous person has great power at its working. I have been in times of prayer where I've been offloaded things off of my soul. And as I prayed and those things came off of my soul, I began to get better physically. You know, I've shared that last I think last week. So I want to go ahead and put up, fill in the blank number 3. To receive anything from God, you must bend your thinking and your obedience to the Word of God. You must bend your thinking and your obedience to the Word of God. To be in error, you bend the Word of God to your thinking. If you want to be in error, you go ahead and declare what you think it means when it doesn't mean this. Here's how it really works. If I understand it or not, this is true. If I can lay hold of it or not, it's still true. Because God is not a liar. I just want to get in this little mode again. You're really going to be happy when you see Jesus and you've lived your life unto him. You're just going to be thrilled out of your mind. You're going to be so blessed and say, hallelujah. The more you've learned to love other people and get your eyes off yourself, you're going to be so happy. Because the real question is, what degree have you learned to love? To what degree have you learned to love other people? Is it all about you? Because when you go through your life review with the Lord, it's not going to be about the things that you got for you. It's going to be how you cared for others. It's going to be about that. And you're going to love that if you live the life now. How many of you just, even today, you say, you know, I think I'm going to be done with 80% of my selfishness. I've tried to grapple with 20% later, but... How about this? I want to bring my soul to Jesus, and every bitter thing I want to get rid of because it's getting in the way of me being able to love better. And I don't love people the way I need to, so I want to deal with this. I need the cross to go in here, and I got to become something more in Christ than I've ever been before. That's what healing is about. Healing is about that. Healing is about Jesus having more of a lion's share of the relationship, and his who he is in your life matters more than anybody else. And there's no idols. You bring those down. And there's nothing between you and him. That's the life. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. That's what you'll be thrilled about when you touch him. And I want to close with just a thought or two here. I think it would be important for you to know that it's the Lord's will always to heal. It doesn't matter how sick somebody is. Our goal is we fight for life till Jesus comes and says, I'll take it from here. We don't surrender faith in the living God ever for the complete fulfillment of his promises here now. We don't surrender that. And what I want to do is invite you to lay hold in a greater way of the personal relationship that you have with the Lord. If you don't, we want to help you start a relationship with the Lord. But that would grow. That would grow deeper. That would go richer. And that you would begin to know him in a fuller way. It's more meaningful. I'm just aware you got decisions, right? You got pretty major decisions. Are you coming up with like a change of... You got stuff that you've got to figure out. I just am aware of that in my spirit. I agree with you that you're not going to miss the Lord's path in any way, that he's going to make it extremely clear the next steps. Just have that complete confidence that the Lord's with you. It's been a little boxing match. Little stuff it's kind of been cluttered a bit, kind of a stress. I want you to be at peace. The Lord's got you on this. He's got your best interest in mind, and you will not make a mistake. You won't make a mistake. You're going to go right where he wants you to go. Let that faith arise in him. These next steps really unfold future things in a wonderful way. God's already thought of it. He knows who's next. He knows what's next, okay? Confidence in him. Confidence in him. Amen? Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that says, I'm not going to have us calling us down, but just a point of physical need in your body. Just raise your hand. Physical need. You say, I have an area. Okay. Let's all pray this prayer together. With confidence, say, Father, with confidence, I come to you. I thank you that Jesus has taken my sickness. And I say that out loud so my own spirit can hear it. Jesus has taken this sickness. I don't deny it, but I defy it. In the authority of his name and his blood, I am healed. I decree it and I lay hold of the truth of the word and I pile drive it into my spirit. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Now let's praise the Lord for a minute. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Spirit of God, come and hover over right now. Just cover. There's a peace. Come over. Cover over your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't shriek back. Don't be fooled. Don't let symptoms or that kind of stuff mess with you. Just go ahead and stand. The faith is the sixth sense of your spirit, man. It's not based on the five senses of the natural man. The truth is you're healed in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. The truth. The truth. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's coming and he's thrown the cross into the bitterness. He said, I'm going to take the poison out. Just look to me. Look to me. As Moses lifted the serpent, so look to Christ Jesus. And that sickness, you will not die. That sickness will be broken. That sickness is coming out. Let's go ahead and stand together. Let's praise the Lord. Let's lift your voice. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord for the other people that God's... Somebody release faith to Jesus for everybody in the room. Let's go ahead and trust the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your healing grace filling this house, filling each body. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, I got to say it again. Bitterness go in Jesus' name. Bitterness go in Jesus' name. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Bitterness be gone in Jesus' name. Bitterness be gone in Jesus' name. There you go. Receive a flow of His love.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Just reach out.
Praise
someone
you, Lord.
Who's feeling that bitterness, just reach out right now and say, I forgive you. You know who it is. Just say, I forgive you. Say their name. Say it out loud. Say, I forgive you. Say, I forgive you. Nobody's listening to you. You say it under your breath right now, because bitterness is going now. Because of your forgiveness, it's leaving now. Now. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Now just reach your hands up, straight up. Here comes. Here comes the impartation of the Holy Spirit. So you'll know that it's gone. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just flood them right now. Brood over that person that's wanted to be free there for a long time. There it is. Just take it. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. All you have to do is say, I forgive. I forgive. I forgive you for hurting me. I forgive you. It wasn't right what you did, but I forgive you. Because the Lord says I should forgive you. Because He forgave me. It's done. It's done. Now, loved one, we're going to dismiss here in a minute. And as you walk out of that pew, your first step into freedom will happen because you chose to forgive. I'm telling you, it's a powerful work. There's nothing you can do to make it happen. It's a gift from God. So take that step in faith as you walk out, and you're going to be different. You're going to be different when you leave this building. You may not notice it right off, but you're going to wake up different. You're going to feel different just from that simple transaction the pastor led you through, releasing bitterness. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Well, loved ones, we're really not going to have any prayer time down here this morning, as we mentioned.
We will be having prayer next week. We're just going to continue with this.
We've just begun this series on healing. You are going to be blown away how God's going to transform our lives in every way. So if you would be so kind, those of you who are in training, if you'll head straight to the reception area, and the rest of you, we love you. Have a wonderful week. Please scoot yourself out the door. Go to lunch.